I've heard a number of people ask, why is it that Russia doesn't have a whole lot of cases? Like, a lot of these other countries, like coronavirus, Russia, and then they a little bit of conspiracy theory gets in there. Well, I think that the answer is, well, I shouldn't say obvious, because if it were, people wouldn't be asking. I don't know that there is as much travel to Russia as there is to Europe and the United States. And we know the origins of this is China, right? And we have here in the United States a lot of travel back and forth between the United States and China. And, of course, China and Europe. And then, you know, this is how we really ended up. The problem accelerated a bit, although we blocked off travel to and from China. A lot of European nations did not. And then, of course, we were allowing travel between the European nations and here. So that's how it got here largely. And, of course, once that was realized, that's when Trump cut off that travel there as well. But I suspect that sort of fluid travel does not happen with Russia to the degree that it does here. And so that could be why it is that we're not seeing all the cases there. Necessarily. Don Luzader, it's just a guess. I'd like to think it's an educated guess. See, it's common sense. Common sense assertion. That sounds better than a guess. Here's Don Luzader with news.
It's an educated guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, it makes sense because people, it's a good question. They say, how come Russia seems to not have these? I thought, okay, why isn't? And then so I think, well, how is it we ended up with it? Where did it start? It started China and then, you know, kind of went to Europe from there and then to here from Europe. And I thought, well, maybe those patterns of travel that originate in China and Europe, it just isn't very prevalent to Russia.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, maybe. That would make sense.
Yeah, it makes sense. And we're the third highest country now with coronavirus cases, I believe.
I do not know.
I think we're up to number three now.
Well, and here's what always interests me, though. It isn't so much the number, but the per capita.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I always
sure.
To me, that's more important. So, you know, when we say, oh, well, we're number three, perhaps, in number of cases, of course, we have a lot more people than other countries do as well. So
right.
What does it look like per capita? Is where are we in that ranking? I don't right. know the answer to that right
I don't
now.
Either.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But we have been behind the curve. So
right.
We should, even if things are set to get better, have even a higher per capita than some of those other countries do, which is
right.
They're saying good news for us because that means we're sort of a lagging indicator as, you know, to things getting better.
Yeah. I think we're all waiting.
Or maybe wishful thinking. I think
we're all wanting signs that point to things getting
well,
better.
Well, that's true. Some people look for negative things, and then there's some that look for positive.
That's right.
I prefer to be one that looks for the positive.
I like that. A stay-at-home order has been issued for 30 days for people in Springfield, Greene County, and Ozark to slow the spread of the coronavirus. We're going to make this a positive, too. It's going to have families being closer together, more closer than ever before. I saw something the other day that pets are loving this more than ever before now, too, because they get to spend time with their owners more.
Well, that's interesting you say that, because last night with our dog laying on the bed and sort of just watching the family, my wife says, I bet she's thinking, are you guys going to be home again tomorrow? So we thought the opposite.
So
she's
maybe
like,
they don't
you know,
like it.
I love y'all and everything.
Yeah.
It's like when you have someone who retires and the other person has either been retired for a long while or they have just been stay at home and the idea sounds great. We'll get to be together every day. And about 4 days into it, you're thinking, oh, no.
Yeah.
This is my time to watch my shows. You're not supposed to be here.
So you think and pets may have the same
They may
kind
very
of
well. Like, when are you guys going to go away?
Yeah.
I love you and all.
I like
you
my
know,
sleeping yeah. time during the day.
You know that fondness of, you know, the distance and fondness? That's why I'm always so happy when you get home.
Right. Right.
You're taking that away from me because you're always here.
Yeah. Wow.
Maybe. Okay. I don't know. Maybe
don't
it's
know.
Just my dog.
So there will be exemptions for things that you can do. There will be exemptions for certain businesses to stay open, and we have much more with the story at KSGF.com. It spells out which types of essential businesses are allowed to stay open. Two more residents at an assisted living center in Springfield have died from the coronavirus, bringing the number of deaths in the state to 8. The victims lived at Morningside of Springfield East. The Springfield Greene County Health Director says they include a woman in her 70s and a woman in her 90s. A woman in her 80s who lived at the facility died on Monday, a fourth resident still in the hospital. And the governor's office says schools in the state will not be mandated to close past April 6th. Schools may stay closed past this. If they choose. Missouri has also closed statewide assessments for the year. A-plus scholarships for colleges have had requirements temporarily loosened. And that is the latest news.
Thank you, sir.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. 20% discount for everyone during this entire coronavirus fiasco. So something you can take advantage of if you are thinking about upgrading or just need new siding, windows, or more. St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. It is foggy out there, though I notice I'm not seeing much traffic anyhow. I suppose that is part of the point of this shutdown. It will clear off eventually. A high today of 69, partly cloudy 52 tonight, partly sunny 79 tomorrow, then rain making its way in to Friday with a continued chance of showers and a high of 77. The current temp is 43 and cloudy. Going to go ahead and get the latest traffic update and then chat with D. Wampler via telephone from a very safe distance. Here's Parker. I'm Nick Reed. Thank you, whoever complimented my little jacket today. I said, I'm putting on a T-shirt. My wife said, you can't put on a T-shirt. I said, it's going to be nice. At least wear a jacket. She's always very concerned about how I look. Which is good, because otherwise I'd be in an open bathrobe probably here. D. Wampler, he joins us. Hey, before we start, Mr. Wampler, first off, thank you for being here. I know you're a busy man, but do you have Netflix?
No, I do not, but well, never mind. I watch Turner Channel, and I get the great John Wayne movies.
Everyone's
right now, I'm wallowing in John Wayne movies and World War II.
You ought to think about signing up for Netflix. There is I've seen the first three episodes of a series that people are talking about more and more called Tiger King, and I think it'd be right up your alley. It's got intrigue and murder and all this sort of jazz to it, and people that own tigers. It's a train wreck. It is an absolute train wreck. It's very entertaining. So far.
Well, I appreciate it. I'll try to pull over. I've been watching MSNBC and CNN, and I'm getting depressed when I watch those stations.
Well, you can. You got to stay away from it. All they do is look at what's happening and try to figure out how to translate that to something very, very, very bad. That's their whole goal, is to do that to you, you know.
Whatever Trump does is wrong. It's all his fault.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely is. It's his fault. There was the guy who ate koi pond sanitizing tablets, thinking that was going to cure him, and that was Donald Trump's fault, according to the media.
Yeah, you mentioned the virus a minute ago. I hope you didn't say Chinese virus, because racist.
It
and,
is.
You know, you can't say that.
Well, that's a good thing. That's the focus.
You know, it was only 1 month ago. I keep my notes on your program, and it was 1 month ago that I was kind of joking a little bit about the wet market in Wuhan, China, and talking about rats and bats and various animals that they sell raw. You know, you remember we talked about alligators, that they eat alligators, and you joked about that. How could somebody want to eat a alligator, a raw alligator? Well, anyway,
well, now I've
that
eaten
was
alligator,
one month
actually.
Ago. It doesn't seem possible. But they had that wet market that was, you know, 2 or 3 acres where you can go and get all kinds of slimy.
Well, how about this? Now, we had a listener call up last hour and asking whether I thought that it was possible things would devolve into martial law. And I gave my reasons for thinking not. But I also warned people who dismiss that sort of question as being, oh, that's that'll never happen. Because if I had told you the first show of the year, January 2nd, when I'm back on and D, you were on, and I predicted that within a few months, half the country would be locked down, travel from China and European nations would be blocked, and in Springfield, if you were not considered by the government to be an essential employee, you could go to jail for being out driving around, you would have thought I was crazy, right?
But and I never heard the word shelter in place.
Right, yeah.
I didn't know what a pandemic was until I started reading history. Or Wuhan, China. Who's ever heard of Wuhan, China? So these are all new words in our vocabulary.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, this Russian situation, there's 2,600-mile border between Russia and China. 2,600 miles, and Russia only has 670 reported cases. And it's proof of the fact that you can shut down borders. They've done it. They do it.
Well, and I don't even know how many people try to get across. I don't know. The question has been asked, why don't they have as many cases? And, yeah, they could definitely have a much stricter border control policy than we do. But at the same time, I don't know how, we get a lot of tourists, and you have a lot of Chinese that would come here and also go to Europe, and that's how they sort of backdoored into here, was through Europe from China. I don't know how much of that travel goes into Russia anyway. I mean, I don't know. There may be just as much, but I don't know.
Yeah, and Iran has serious problems.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's them, but human life isn't worth anything in those countries. So, you know, they don't really care. I mean, they've rejected help from the great Satan. So if people are just dying there, and I don't think the Ayatollah cares.
Right. Well, they were dealing with an upheaval anyhow, to a degree. I mean, a lot of people were protesting the government, and I suppose this would be one way for them to potentially regain control.
You know, the ACLU is getting ready to, they're threatening lawsuits, which is what they normally do first, and try to get the half a loaf. But they're threatening lawsuits to free a lot of the inmates in both the federal and state prisons. And look out, you know, after all these cases that went to jury trial and pled guilty and careful sentencing procedures and federal sentencing guidelines.
It seems a bit backwards when the answer to this largely appears to be isolation, and prisons seem to be an area where you can certainly isolate people to their cells, that instead you say, no, let them out amongst the general population. I mean, doesn't that seem like the opposite approach of how we're supposed to be dealing with this?
And then the illegals that have come here, you know, once they step on American soil, well, there's an order of detention. They put them in a detention center. Then they give them a hearing, and then they set their case 6 or 8 months on down the road. And then they bust them into some American city. And the Trump administration went to court and won. Unbelievably, that when those individuals come here, they can send them back to Mexico or wherever they came from. And that case was a Court of Appeals case that was handed down a few weeks ago. That was a major victory where, you know, they were just putting these people in detention centers, which was not going to work, and that was going to spread the disease. Hey, Nick, you know, have you ever checked the timeline on late January, like the last week of January? I think it was the 22nd. Then it was the 31st when Trump, they accused him of being xenophobic when he announced that he was stopping Chinese from flying into America. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do.
And do you remember what was going on at that period of time in late January and early February? I think it was February 6th. The Democrats were still arguing Russia, 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 and still trying to impeach the president. They were keeping him busy. And all that was going on, we were witnessing on television. That was when Trump, right before those closing arguments, announced that we have a problem and we're not letting people from China in the country anymore. And Biden and Pelosi and everybody, Schumer, were calling him xenophobic, that he was a racist for issuing those orders. Everybody's forgotten that.
Well, conveniently so, of course.
Just a week or two later, you know, they were all concerned, Schiff and Nadler, with impeaching him. I just think it's ironic to go back and look at the timeline about the Democrats were concerned about kicking him out of office while while Rome was burning, you know.
Well, let me tell you how easy it is to rewrite history also. The gal, I forget her name, she's head of the RNC, several weeks ago tweeted out timelines to making to a degree the point that you're making. And she started back, it was actually early January when the Trump administration had, I believe it was the CDC, start to activate some sort of team in order to deal with what was likely going to become a situation. And it listed, here's what Trump was doing on this date, and here's what the Democrats were doing on that same day. And one of them that really stood out to me, and I do believe it was the end of January, that on the, Chuck Schumer held a press conference demanding that more witnesses be allowed for their impeachment trial. And on that same day, Vice President Mike Pence was holding a press conference about the coronavirus. And I honestly thought to myself, I did not remember the White House holding press conferences that far back about this. But I also believe that it's probably largely ignored by the media. They were too obsessed with impeachment that even when the White House was holding press conferences on this and warning people about it, they totally ignored it.
And poor Biden, he's stumbling and bumbling. He's at his in his room in Delaware holding these little Skype press conferences while the president is out here with all the big shots. He's not doing the large, massive rallies anymore, but he's looking very solemn and very professional. And, you know, this is driving the Democrats crazy. Absolutely. You know, because Biden is just like kind of a junior player in this whole thing. He's trying to nip and complain, but nobody's listening to him.
Yeah. We've got Dee Wampler with us. Wait, let's take. We want to take a quick break here, Dee, if that's all right, and then we'll continue on this morning. Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. Dee Wampler is with us this morning. Hey, I don't know if you saw this or not. But yesterday, the Dow had like the stock market is the greatest ever in the history of ever anything at all. Massive gains. Did you see that?
Well, yeah, I'm excited about it. It's the time to buy. Now's the time to buy.
It was
Isn't that what we do, buy low and sell high?
Yes, it was an average of 2,112-point gain, the biggest ever, 11%. While the S&P 500 gained over 9.3%, the NASDAQ over 8.1%. So that's definitely a nice thing to experience.
Yeah, well, you know, we got enough. I got enough stress in my life without looking at that stock market. I do look at it every day, but
not me.
I don't like bad news. I wanted to mention courts are open for certain cases. The Missouri Supreme Court had issued orders on what kind of cases can be heard and whatnot. So basically, if you have any kind of case over there from now for the next 30 days, I wouldn't go if I were you, because unless it's an ex parte order of some kind or a child custody order or a temporary restraining order or something like that. But there are courts are in session for limited purposes. And so our public officials are working. So,
well, I guess that's good news. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard to say.
So I wanted to mention there's a couple of things that I wanted to mention. One of the early things about the disease is a loss of smell and taste.
Mm-hmm.
And I had not really noticed that, but I was Googling some of the things that you look for when you initially get the disease, and that's one of them. So
that'd be awful for you. You wouldn't get to enjoy peanut butter brittle any longer.
Yeah.
Or buttered popcorn.
My guard cat is still coming in. I've gone to a 50-cent can of food now. I'm in an austerity program, and sometimes she just gets mad at me and walks away. She wants the $1.15 can.
Well, and, you spoiled her. She's got champagne taste, thanks to you. See, that's why you never start out a relationship with a girl like that. You start low, then anything that you do after that seems, you know, like above and beyond.
You know, you always have interesting comments, Nick.
Well, yeah. You should have just started kicking the cat, and then the fact that you didn't kick it would have seemed great. And
no,
I mean,
that kitty, her name is Stoppin' Frisky, is her name now. But you know, Nick, there have been these illnesses. If you look at world history, I think I mentioned this a week or two ago. Just not only the Spanish flu during World War One, but the plague of London back in the 1600s, and a third of Mexico was wiped out with smallpox. That was back around, I think, the 1500s. And if you look at all of the diseases, I mean, China has had plagues 200 and 300 years ago that killed millions, and the Black Death in Europe killed 50 million back in the 14th century. That was before we had a big population. And
well, we're coming up around 100 years of the Spanish flu, which killed a lot of people. And we're, for whatever reason, we're allowed to say Spanish flu. We don't worry about...
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. It's pick
and choose. It was Solomon or somebody that said that for things that shall be and things that shall be done in the future, there is no new thing under the sun. And certainly there is no new thing. I mean, man is... We're vulnerable. We're frail. And we've suffered calamities and plagues and all manner of accidents and things that we can't really explain. And it's just an intolerable thing that we have in life, that we have to go through these things because we are vulnerable. And you know, we can have the greatest vaccinations and immunizations and antibiotics and hygiene, this and that. And our planet is literally teeming with all kinds of germs and viruses. And there have been all kinds of articles about cleaning your cell phone, how many different bacteria and pathogens and things that are on the average cell phone. And, I mean, it's filthy. Especially teenagers,
yeah.
Their cell phone.
D. Wampler is with us. Do you have time for a few more minutes after the news with Don?
Yeah, I'll hang on. I'm just building up a steam right now.
Okay. Oh, I can sense it. D. Wampler with us this morning. We are going to get Don Luzader. Also, if he's still listening online, good morning to my nephew Jude, doing homework despite the fact that school is out. See, now that's how you raise a tremendous American man there. We've got Parker with traffic. I'm Nick Reed. Don Luzader with news.
Good morning. Missouri food stamp benefits will increase because of COVID-19. The state has also received a waiver to extend the recertification periods that are coming due in March, April, and May by another 6 months.
Well, see, this is what I'm fully acknowledging. I don't understand. What increasing food stamps is supposed to do regarding coronavirus? You know, per person or overall? Are they saying, like, oh, we're going to give more food stamps out, or people who get it are going to get more? Because that I don't understand.
It says the benefits will increase. So, yeah, I'll have to do some more research.
Well, I just wonder, like, because other than just throwing money around, I get the idea behind people just straight up, okay, they're going to give checks to everyone. That
right,
way,
right,
people
right, right.
who are not getting a paycheck, it's a flotation device to get them through. But, and for example, and this may sound harsh to some people, they're like, well, how are homeless people supposed to get these checks? And my response is that, okay, so the point of this is to try and maintain the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
Homeless people getting money, you know, in order to float them while they're out of a job, that's not status quo. Now, some may argue that we should be doing that. But that's not the point of this. And so if we're, you know, we're doing a number of these things, I think, now, how is this necessary in order to get us through the current? And there may be an answer,
right.
But some of these things just seem to not make sense to me.
I completely understand that. And by the way,
that I'm confused. You know, not surprised by this
but
at
these
all.
Are things we should be questioning.
Well, sure.
You know,
yeah.
I mean,
and I think some
citizens.
Of it is just an opportunity to be yeah. able for some politicians to say, oh, here's what I did when they run for reelection. I know I'm cynical. But I've seen that happen before.
Yeah. And you know, I haven't heard a lot about it, and I keep forgetting it, but I do remember the president saying the other day that the Real ID deadline will now be extended as well. So the Real ID deadline that will never actually come now, probably, has been extended.
Yeah, that Real ID deadline is like a tax increase deadline, you know, and it's a temporary tax increase that never actually goes away.
Yeah,
that seems to be the same deal with
that. When will we could like take bets? When will Real ID
they
go into effect?
That stupid thing or the requirement?
I'm with you there. Governor's office says schools in the state will not be mandated to stay closed past April 6th. Schools may stay closed past this. It'll be up to each district. Missouri has also closed statewide assessments this year. A-plus scholarships for colleges have had requirements temporarily loosened. And the Alamo Drafthouse Cinema laying off nearly 200 workers here in Springfield as the coronavirus impacts businesses around the nation. Workers from bartenders to salaried managers may be out 6 months or more without a job from the Texas-based theater chain. And that is the latest news.
You know, I was mentioning earlier, oftentimes people, they see a story like that, and their instinct is to see the company as cold, like, oh, they're just trying to save the bottom line. But oftentimes, well, they can't pay these people because they can't work. But laying them off allows them to apply for benefits.
Yes.
And so that's why
doing a service to them, because they're not going to be able to work anyway.
Right.
Because the theater is shut down. And so at least let them get some benefits
out
of it.
Right, because if they quit, you can't get benefits, right? You can't get unemployed if you quit.
No.
Yeah, you have to be laid off or something, and so that allows for that to happen.
And hopefully they can rehire them as soon, you know, when they reopen. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. Still pretty foggy out there. Clouds will eventually clear out. High today of 69, 52 tonight. Partly sunny tomorrow with a high of 79, and then rain into Friday with a high of 77, 43 with fog. Dee Wampler with us this morning.
Yeah, well, Schumer and the president were getting along pretty good, and then San Fran Nan flew in with her AOC left wing, and all of a sudden there was airline emission standards that was going to be in this $7 trillion packet of laws, and then what was the other one? There was
$35 million for the Kennedy. So, yeah, there's all sorts of stuff in there. Well, you know, you got a nice little bromance going on between President Donald Trump and Chuck. And then a woman had to get involved. Screwed it all up. Here, a woman coming between two guys that were getting along.
How can we put her in a quarantine? Instead of her wearing a mask, can we get a gag? That wasn't proper. I shouldn't have said that. Well, but I mean, what about
the
Nancy
imagery
being in quarantine? Wouldn't that be a constructive thing?
No, I think honestly she's been dead for at least 3 years.
they figured out how
to animate her.
These liberal lobbyists, they must be lying in wait for these calamities, because how can they come up with these things so fast?
Right.
I mean, this bill is, 1,000 pages long, and the bill they proposed was like 1,200 pages or so. How do they come up with this? So they must just be waiting.
These pet projects. They, you know, it's stuff that they want, they push, and they've never necessarily, there hasn't been the political you know, clout, maybe, or just there wasn't a real desire amongst the people. But they see this and they recognize, okay, well, Republicans definitely want to get this passed. Trump wants to get this done. So let's throw this stuff in there, hoping that he'll just sign it because he wants to get it done and he doesn't care what's in it. But he pushed back and was like, no, we're not. That's not what this is for. And they seem to have potentially given up to some degree that battle.
Yeah. I wanted to mention that when I was a little boy in the end of World War II, we had a little home over on South Pickwick with a tiny little yard. And my mother and father had a victory garden. Mm. And in fact, during World War II, the last couple of years, over 18 million American families had victory gardens. Now, you probably, the mere listeners have never heard that, but over one-third of all of the food that was consumed by Americans was from Victory Gardens. In other words, it took a lot of the pressure off of the food industry and business where we could dedicate time to the war effort. And Mrs. Roosevelt dug up the White House lawn and planted a Victory Garden. In fact, Michelle Obama some years ago had a Victory Garden. She called it some different name. But, I'm so proud of the way that our people pull together during those times. And they talk about the Defense Production Act of 1950 during the Korean War that the president could require large corporations to enter into the war effort and do things. I remember when the coal miners went on strike in World War II and President Truman threatened them with jail, that if they didn't go back to the mines and work, that he was going to put them in jail. But all these big corporations, these evil corporations that Bernie and Biden have been criticizing for all these months, these horrible big corporations, they're all stepping forward now and saying, we can do this. We can produce the masks and the respirators and all these things. We can retool our factories. And I'm proud. I'm proud, aren't you, to hear about the people that are pulling together like that?
Large scale, small scale, all across the board. And it is one of the things that people don't realize is unique to the United States. And that is the level of generosity and the willingness to not only donate money, but time and effort. And as a country, we far and above all other countries, and there have been numerous research projects done on this, number of studies, and that when it comes to generosity, people in the United States are far more generous than people are in other countries. And sadly, we don't oftentimes recognize that because you have some people oftentimes running for president who all they do is talk down the country, and they make us seem like we're all just a bunch of stingy jerks that don't pay enough taxes, particularly rich people and corporations, and we're all a bunch of racist and, you know, all these horrible, awful things, when in fact that, particularly compared to the rest of the world, is not the case. And so you do see this where people volunteer to help others. I mean, I see it posted on Facebook all the time. Somebody will say, hey, I have some extra toilet paper. Does anyone need it? Or I have some extra baby wipes. Does anybody need it? You can have it for free. Area restaurants that have donated product that they were not going to be able to use to elderly people. That isn't something that happens throughout the rest of the world to the extent that it does here in the United States. And it's just a real shame that we oftentimes don't recognize that that happens, largely because of this narrative by one ideology in particular that just sees us as a country filled with a bunch of stingy racists that are only looking out for themselves.
Yeah, well, you know, for the next 30 days or so, we're going to have to hunker down. Worldwide, nationwide, citywide, and it's going to be tough. And there's a lot of loneliness. There's a lot of people out there that are lonely that need help, need assistance. And but I can't help but be proud. I think the American spirit is there. And I did hear one of the congressmen the other day said that our Bill of Rights and Constitution was formed by a bunch of brilliant Americans, and now our country is being run by a bunch of idiots, which, you know, to some extent, it's easy to criticize, but outside of Washington and the Beltway, these corporations, all of them, I mean, there's so many you can't name them all, are all saying, we can help, or what can we do to help? So the president doesn't have to invoke this Defense Production Act of 1950. That's where he orders them to do certain. He hasn't had to. I saw Vice President Pence said, heck, they're calling us.
Yeah.
Our lines are.
And let me tell you something else, too, and this is unique to Trump, that Trump would have the ability, if there were some that were on the fence or they weren't sure, this is what Trump does well, is get into a room with these people and have them come out saying, we want to help. That is just, you know.
You know it. They'd love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's who he is. That was one of the things that always fascinated me in the very beginning, after he got elected, but before he got sworn in. You'd have these people that trashed him and badmouthed him, and they'd go into a room with him, and they'd come out, and you could tell they were – I always thought, I want to be in one of those rooms to see what he says to those people, because they come out, and they're totally – and it's not fake. It's not – because they wouldn't come out and say, oh, well, he tried to talk me into supporting him. They all just somehow turned around. So there's something about him that it is the art of the deal, you know, where he can get people in a room and craft things in a way in which they see it as advantageous for them to do what it is that he would like for them to do.
Yeah.
I mean, some would call it leadership, I guess. Yeah. D. Wampler. Yeah, listen, I appreciate it as always. Now, you take care of yourself. I know that you're spry and young, but...
Your cell phone, Nick.
What?
Please, keep your phone clean.
Okay.
And your microphone.
All right, we do. We wipe everything down, and we're the only ones in here now. That's why you're on the phone.
Hang around for 6 to 8 days. I mean, they're little nasty little things, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm worried about you.
I'm worried about you.
On you every morning.
You're older than I am. D. Wampler, thank you, sir. Hey, be careful out there. It's foggy, all right?
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
All right, bye now. Springfield's News Talk, FM 104.1 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. Speaking of fog, here's traffic. I mean, this is cold beer drinking. Well, it's kind of whiskey drinking, too, in there. Well, here's the story. U.S. was more prepared for pandemic than any other country, according to a John Hopkins study. Oh, well, that sounds weird. The United States was ranked the best prepared country in the world to handle a pandemic in late 2019 by the Nuclear Threat Initiative and the John Hopkins Center for Health Security, an assessment seemingly at odds with claims by Democrats in the media that the Trump administration left the country vulnerable to the ongoing coronavirus outbreak. Remember, we're not even talking about how it's being dealt with now. Accusations that, of course, were false, that Trump the reason we were unprepared is because Trump had essentially dismantled our abilities as a country to take on something. Well, when you look back and you take the politics out of it and you take the Monday morning quarterbacking out of it and you look at this in-depth study that was done prior to the outbreak, it said that we weren't in a dismantled position. We were the most prepared of any country. Now, you have two aspects of this. One, people can look at, criticize, and discuss Trump's handling of it on a day-to-day basis. But the other aspect of this is whether or not we were prepared for it. And that was one of the big points in which the media kept trying to destroy Trump, claiming that the whole reason that things have turned out or gotten where they are today is because of the dismantling. In fact, there was an article, it's five lies Joe Biden keeps telling, and some of those are that, you know, he cut funding to this and he dismantled that and things that just aren't true. And so it should be of no surprise that prior to the politicking of dealing with this situation, you had the Nuclear Threat Initiative and the John Hopkins Center for Health and Security say no more. There were no other countries in the world more prepared than the United States under President Trump to deal with a situation like this. That's what one might call an inconvenient truth. It's foggy out there. Continued traffic updates this morning with Parker Pageant. I'm Nick Reed. One of our tremendous partners, and has been, it's just amazing to me how time flies. I was thinking back. It's been a couple of years. Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate has been with us, and it's been such a tremendous addition and asset to KSGF, and she's one of those that goes above and beyond to make sure that she communicates with all of you. And I know because of those efforts, there are people who have found their dream homes or been able to find a buyer because she's been on here talking about it. And that's just part of what she does. There are different types, like anything, there are different types of realtors. And there are some that are these big units of sorts, and they're almost a figurehead of it, and they have a team, and they do a lot of delegating. That is not the way that Emily Johnson of Rhodes Real Estate operates. She is more like your personal assistant advocate. So if that's what you want a person that you know is, I mean, not just in the loop, but they're just doing everything regarding your home selling or your attempt to buy a home, whether it's helping you stage your home properly or how to best negotiate what things to ask for on the buying end. All of that she does as your advocate, and she does not hand you off to anyone else. She is there from very beginning to the very end and everything in between. So for all of your home buying needs and your selling needs, and if you think right now, well, is this really a good time to buy or to sell? Ask her that question. Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate, 890-1455, and you can find and like her on Facebook. That's Emily Johnson, Rhodes Real Estate.